Welcome to our podcast Code Cafeteria. We are Lara, Miguel, and Kai, and we talk about developer life, tech, games, and other things. This is episode 5, and today we talk about pets as coworkers. So, probably most of us had or have pets in our families, right? They are part of our families. So, we sometimes need to have them close to us, like we have to take care of them. And so we might need to bring them to our workplace, right? But is that okay? Are companies okay with having dogs and cats in the offices? Let's talk about our experiences and also what we think about it. So I would like to start talking about our own experiences, what we had in the past, what we are doing currently. Do we bring our pets to our offices? So let's start with Mikael, for example.
Hello. So I work from home and I essentially don't take my dog to the office, but I'm in the office with my dog. And as you probably know already, we have a Labrador, which is called Lily. Sometimes we talk about her in our podcast. And she also has a Twitter account that we will share later. And, well, Lily essentially forces me to have a schedule. I have to wake up at 7 a.m. every single day because she will just jump on me and will try to get on bed and everything. And so that forces us to wake up at 7 a.m. every single day to prepare the breakfast and also to walk her outside. And that's a good start for the day for me because it's forcing me to get ready for the day, to get a little bit of fresh air also. And then later, after preparing breakfast for everyone, after getting ready, then I can start to work.
So you're kind of working with your pet because you work from home, you work remotely. But what about the past? Like in previous companies, when you were on site, were you allowed to bring your pets? Were people allowed? What's your experience on that?
I've seen pets in the office in the past, but I never saw anyone asking explicitly about bringing a dog,
never,
for example. But I've seen occasionally, I've seen someone who will bring a dog one day, but that's it. Not like we're having office dogs.
Interesting. And you, Kai?
I work from home as well, similar to Miguel. And I've been working from home for roughly 12 years now. At least the majority of the time I would be working from home during those 12 years. And we have a cat named Kylo. He's a lovely about 4-year-old little black cat. And before Kylo, we had another cat who was named Max. So I was working with a cat around me pretty much for the majority of the last 10 years, you can say, roughly, give and take. And that's very nice, but it's also very different from working with a dog, I think, because cats pretty much do their own thing, right? I mean, cats are, I don't know, they are their own characters and they treat you as a servant and that's basically it. But they are lovely while doing that.
I mean, very well put, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he has his own schedule, Kylo. He quite often goes out very early in the morning, like 3:30 to 5 or 5:30 for like 2 hours, doing his cat patrol, whatever he's doing in the neighborhood, I don't know.
Business.
And then he comes back in the morning. And when I start working, he would normally be either in one of his beds sleeping or just, you know, sitting somewhere staring at me, trying to beg for treats or stuff like that. And what I find nice about having a cat around me is that it makes you not feel alone, if that makes sense. Even though he's sleeping in his bed, the whole day, let's say, I know that he's here. And that's actually a really nice thing. And I can just go over and, you know, grab him and cuddle him or play with him a little bit if he's in that mood. And it's kind of a little nice interaction and a break of my work routine. It's kind of comparable to, you know, in some way, if you go to the kitchen and you make yourself a really nice espresso coffee and you spend some time, you know, getting out of your work setting and doing something else and, you know, playing with your cat or cuddling with your cat or any of your animals is a similar experience that helps you to break your work day into manageable chunks in some way.
For sure, for sure. So compared to you both, I do work in an office mostly. I sometimes work from home, but I have to work on site. And so in the past, all my companies were against having dogs inside the offices for several reasons. But I remember one of my past companies I remember we were asking the CEO, what's your favorite animal? And talking about that, we mentioned dogs and he said, no dogs or something. In a way, we were like, oh, someone doesn't like dogs. And so we later discovered that he seemed to be afraid of dogs. And that's why it was banned from the company. I cannot confirm that, but well, it can be. And on an opposite side, my current company does allow us to have pets in the office and has changed the way, the mode. For me, the mode in the office is way different than in previous companies for many other reasons, but having a pet, I find that changes the mode and the interactions between people. And yeah, I'm very happy that my company allows pets, but we will discuss later why can be counterproductive or what are the bad things of having pets in the office. And yeah, I also have Lily, like Miguel. Currently, this is my first dog ever, but it's not my first pet. I, in the past, had birds, loved birds, and hamster, but those are not pets that you normally bring to the office, I guess. I don't know.
I think we might come back to that normally comment, because there are scenarios in which people bring animals to workplaces that are rather unusual, as we've learned.
Okay, I want to hear more on that. So the thing is that we also started the poll on Twitter asking, well, we want to talk about having pets as co-workers in the next episode. And so we asked, does your office allow you to bring pets to work? The results were like very close, like having pets and cats seems like it's 30% of the people replied yes, they are allowed. 40 said no. And then from the rest, half of them were working from home. Half of them just wanted to see the results of the poll. So it's like there's no clear winner. We also didn't have many votes. So it's not also not representative, but it's just what our followers answered.
I found the yes to be surprisingly high, to be honest.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. But again, we don't know who's following us yet. Probably some dog lovers.
Yeah. You can assume that our followership is quite biased towards startups, developers, tech people. You know, maybe Berlin and Wellington, I don't know, where and these doggies. Kind of things are probably more accepted, like taking your animal to work, than in, let's say, a traditional mid-sized German company, you know, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, totally, totally. So then my question to you is, why do we want to bring our pets to the workplace? Why? Do they bring any benefits?
I would like to chime in here, right? Because for me, it's conceptually an unusual thing to bring my pet to a workplace, right? Because I never had a dog. I'm a cat person. I like dogs, but I never lived with a dog. But when I imagine bringing a cat to the workplace, that would be weird. And it would be quite unusual, I think. I mean, to me, it would be weird. Maybe for other people or other culture, that's perfectly normal. But I think there are a lot of general benefits because you have like a work companion that is potentially good for your mental health. And you have, you know, if it's a cute dog and a lovely dog, you have like, you know, a dog running around the office chasing a ball or something like that. And that is nice.
I'm sorry, right? If you have a cute dog. No, all dogs are cute. Now you can continue.
I think I rest my case.
No.
Yes. It is definitely fun.
It is definitely fun
to have dogs around. Yeah. And that's proved to reduce the stress. And there has been lots of studies going around this. And we probably were going to link one article in the notes, that it has been proved to give a happier workspace and also to reduce the stress of the workers just by having dogs around. But one important thing is also the exercise that you do, because it kind of forces you to not to be sitting all day. Maybe you need to go outside to walk the dog, like I have to do also when I'm here at home, but also as well, maybe one dog is playing and you just go there and say hi, something like this. It's just a little bit of exercise. You're moving from your chair, you're going to the dog, you're going back, and that already makes a big change.
In my company, we have a channel on Slack to walk with dogs. So if there's someone that wants to go on a walk and would like to bring one of the dogs outside, they are making a favor to someone while they are working or something. And by bringing a dog on a walk, you are going outside, see the sunshine maybe, if you are like in Berlin, having some oxygen, you know, and bonding with someone or an animal, which is also enriching, is really, I don't know, refreshing sometimes.
Yes.
I was going to a co-working space a while ago for about 2 years, 2 days a week, because I wanted to get out of the house a little bit. And there were usually always dogs around as well in that co-working space. And it would most days at least be one, sometimes two or three, which can lead to an interesting dynamic, you know, like two dogs chasing the same ball and all of a sudden chaos goes loose and stuff happens. But it was fun most of the times. All the dogs that were there were quite well behaved though as well. And they listened to commands and they were like, you know, friendly dogs. They wouldn't growl at people or things like that.
So what I understand is that, well, having dogs or pets in the office can also bring some other not that good things that, I don't know, chasing out ball, as you said, like together playing. That can be distracting as well to people while they are working. So maybe let's try to think of what are the bad things of having a dog in an office.
Yeah. I think that the problem starts also with the open office space, right? You're sharing a place with a lot of people and maybe you're doing creative work and you need to focus on something. And it's the same problem if you have someone chatting next to you or maybe having a call without going into a booth or something like this. It's the same problem if you have people playing with a dog and you're trying to focus on some creative work. I don't know if that's a problem where you're working, Lara, but it will be something that it will annoy me so much.
Yes, I mean, it can be a problem. So that's why one of the reasons why my company decided to write some policy around dogs, bringing dogs to the office. And for example, one of the things you have to do is to ask the people that sit around you that will be close to your dog if they are okay with that, if they have any concerns, questions, anything. So you have to talk about it and ask your colleagues, your immediate colleagues, the people around you. You know, you cannot just bring your dog.
Yeah.
I would probably argue that dogs don't make it worse. Because if you're in an open space, in like a developer or designer or any kind of like, you know, creative or thinking work job, it's usually a shit environment anyway. Sorry for being so direct. I think open plan offices are the root of a lot of evil and bad things in happening in companies and in creative processes. And if you, with all that stuff going on in an open space workplace, I don't think having a dog there that maybe barks three times a day is making it that much worse, to be honest. That's just like not realistic. There are so many worse things happening, like, you know, the meeting in an open space office kind of thing, or the constant distractions by people tapping your shoulder, like, oh, can I have 5 minutes of your time? Which then turns out to be not 5 minutes, but another hour until you get back into what you were really doing. And all those kind of things. Like, if a dog barks for like 3-4 times, well, if that's your problem, then I think you need to reevaluate your priorities a little bit from my point of view.
Yeah, I agree on that. Yeah, as well. Like, I can think of examples of when a dog was supposed to be distracting at work. Like recently we had the dog that when he was a bit tired, made noises when breathing. And I remember myself smiling and a colleague next to me, we looked at each other while we were coding. We looked at each other with our headphones on and we both smiled. Like, it was making us happy to listen to the dog around us. And we just continued working. So it was a tiny little distraction, but it made us happy, right?
One concern I do have, though, with dogs in offices is the aspect of, like, being afraid of dogs or having allergies. In terms of allergies, I can't really comment, but I don't want to say I'm afraid of dogs, but I have respect of dogs. Particularly if a dog is quite big, I'm probably overcautious with dogs. I'm actually reasonably relaxed with tiny dogs. A friend of us has a tiny Chihuahua that is smaller than Kylo. And I mean, that's super easy to deal with. But like even a dog like Lily, from her size, I have actually respect, you know, and I'm like, whoa, you are a decent sized dog. You could jump on me and put your front paws on my shoulders probably. And that is kind of impressive.
You haven't seen Lily lately. She's now bigger.
Yeah, there you go. And I can't imagine what it would be like for people who are really afraid of dogs. You know, I'm just cautious of bigger dogs. But if you really have like a situation where you are super afraid, that must be quite disturbing if people start to bring dogs to your workplace. And given or depending on which country you're in, I guess there's also legislation that comes into consideration, like whose right is more important, a person's right to bring their dog or their animal, or the person's right not to feel afraid from a health and safety point of view, for example.
While they are doing their job, right? While they are working in an office where they are supposed to feel safe and have everything they need to do their job at their best.
Yes.
And it's correct. It's not only asking people when before you bring the dog, because maybe you brought the dog, but 1 year later you're hiding someone, and surprise, the first day at work, this person realized that there is a dog around.
Yes, yes. One of the things in the policy in my company is that, well, your dog should not trigger allergies to people or something like this, which is very understandable for sure. Like if someone is allergic to dogs and are working in an office, you should not bring your dog, right? Yeah. I think it makes sense, you know?
There are certain breeds of dogs, I think, that trigger less allergies, correct?
I think so. I haven't checked a lot on that, but it's I got that information from a colleague, actually, that I think has it is. Allergies.
Because I remember vaguely a shared friend of Miguel and me, Ben in Australia, he's allergic to dogs. And they got a dog, but it was a special breed that has a very, very low allergy rating in some way. So it doesn't trigger him at all.
Yeah, I had an experience some months ago when we brought Lily to the office, our dog. It was for Halloween. And she had a costume, and we brought Lily. Like, we thought it was a fun thing to do. And one of my colleagues was rubbing Lily's belly, you know, and happy. And next day, she told me she was having some allergy. Like, she was asking for pills for allergy. And turns out that she knew she had allergy against dogs. And I was like, wow, why didn't you tell me? You were yesterday rubbing Lily's belly. And she told me, well, not all dogs trigger my allergies. So she knew if she could pet Lily, I guess.
And I think also, depending on how bad your allergy is, you make a judgment call, right? If there's a super cute dog offering their belly in front of you, you might say, oh, I need to rub this belly, even though I might get like some, you know, red spots on my skin, or for example, if it's a very light allergy. I would probably.
It would be, yes. I mean, Lily was cute. She was wearing a lion wig and, you know,
yeah,
she looked Halloween. Like a lion.
Anyways, Lily is a little bit too wild, I will say, for office space, at least now that she is 1 year old and a half.
Yeah, she's very young. I'd say she's quite okay trained, but it's not perfect yet. She will start chasing another dog, and not chasing, but playing around with dogs. And she will not stop because you want her to stop. You know, she is independent.
Someone will look at her and she will say, oh, now you're a friend. I want to play. And I will not stop until I play with you.
Yes, and she will see a ball and she will go crazy. She will not steal your ball, by the way, but if you have a piece of wood, she will.
I have a question for Lara. You know, at your workplace, how does it work with multiple dogs being in at the same time? Is it usually that they are spread out enough, far out enough in different floors or different areas of the office that there are no conflicts and things like that? Or did dogs run into each other and caused issues in some way in the past ever?
So usually the dogs were spread out of two floors in the building. We didn't have many, but now we have 2-3 more and another floor. So yeah, at some point I remember bringing Lily and going to another floor, and she and another dog will start playing. The other dog will start barking a lot and scaring people, you know, when suddenly she started barking. The other dog, not Lily. and, you know, going a bit crazy because they both were very young and so. So you kind of have to know where your dog can go and not, if there are other.
That is fair. Have you heard about that whole movement in the US of service animals?
You mean service as for therapy?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the obvious, you know, scenario is like a dog for people who are visually impaired, for example, right?
So you brought up a very interesting point, which is animals, pets as support animals. And that's something I keep thinking about since I got Lily and since I've seen a lot of good things she's bringing me to good things for my mental health. And also I was thinking about it when Miguel was saying at the beginning, like he has a schedule and he wakes up at 7. And that's the thing. One of the great things that having a dog gives you to support your mental, for your good support for your mental health, is giving you a schedule, giving you a reason to wake up in the morning and leave your bed because they have to be fed and they need to go potty outside, you know? Okay, so let's say our listeners would like now to bring their dog to the office. What should they do? What would you advise them to do?
The first thing is asking people around you.
Wouldn't the first thing be to check with your company if it's in general allowed?
Yes, maybe they don't have a policy, maybe not. But even before asking your boss, I think it's more important to ask the people who is around you. And then whatever your boss says is the final word, let's say. But even if your boss says yes, I think it's more important what's going on with the people around you. But I think, for example, Lara, you have some office politics there at your work, right?
Yeah. I mean, as you said, and I mentioned before, the company is okay with having dogs. They do think that bringing dogs and having dogs in the office makes people happier and friendlier. So they are happy to have dogs. But of course, as you said, you should ask your coworkers, the people sitting next to you, close to you, if they are okay with that. And then other things that are supposed to be common sense, which is you should have your dog vaccinated and microchipped and have an insurance. So they ask you for kind of proof of that, like just send us a document that where it says like they have the vaccines, the chip, insurance. And of course they want the dogs to be well behaved, right? They don't want the dogs to run freely in the office, in the open office, and chewing pens around or cables like it happened.
Or pooping,
yeah. I mean, this should be part of the common sense, I guess, which is they are potty trained.
Accidents can still happen, though, if dogs are like super excited and in a new environment, I guess, right? Would you also do a bit of a trial with your dog, like take your dog in for like a couple of days before you make a final decision?
Yes, and even hours. It could be you come for an hour, you know? We did that with Lily, right, yeah. Mikael?
Like an afternoon, for example.
Yeah, the first time Mikael brought in Lily and it was trying to like see how she was behaving. And of course, she was going nuts and so excited about meeting people, new people and getting pets everywhere, you know? So she had to stay only for half an hour and then go outside and try to relax and then come again.
Yeah. It's important that they have good socialization. And growing up in Spain, I've never seen that. And that's completely new for me when having a dog in Germany. The fact that people bring the dogs to a puppy class, and since they are very, very small and very young, so they have good socialization. They know that when it's the time to play, when it's the time to not to play, how to be around people, etc. This kind of training happens, is very normal. For example, in Germany, everyone will ask you if you're bringing your dog to the puppy class when they are small, but it's not normal all around the world. It's absolutely not normal in Spain. People will laugh at you if you say that you're bringing your dog to one of these lessons, which, to be honest, you are not bringing the dog to the lesson. You are bringing yourself to the lesson. They teach you how you can teach the dog. That's the thing. They are not teaching the dog. You are the one who's doing the job, but they are explaining to you how to do that.
And they are explaining to you how to understand the dog as well.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's the same thing with the insurance that you said. Dog insurance does not exist in Spain in the same sense that it exists in Germany. The fact that here, for example, we have an insurance for anything that she can break in the building, around, maybe she will bite someone or something like this. And we have an insurance that will cover this person. And that simply does not exist in Spain, these kind of things.
So it's a kind of a legal liability insurance for Lily, basically.
Then you can have a health one.
Yeah.
But they are two different things.
I would be interested to know more about like how many people in Germany have like dog insurance, or is it mandatory? It's not mandatory, if I remember right. I think it's voluntary. Yeah.
It's not mandatory, but for example, if we want to leave our dog into the daycare, it's mandatory to have one.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. Yeah. What about microchipping your animals? Is that mandatory in Germany now?
I think so. I'm not sure. Yeah, I will say it's mandatory, yes. And the same thing in Spain, I will say.
Okay. Yeah, it might be the same European Union regulations in that case.
Yeah, probably. Even.
And here in New Zealand, it changed a few years ago that if you get a new animal, it has to be microchipped now, right from the start. Which is useful anyway for so many reasons. I mean, I don't understand why people wouldn't.
I still think of what you said, Kai. You have chickens. And you also in the beginning said, like, not everyone brings dogs to the office. Some people bring all the kind of pets. So I'm wondering now, chickens maybe? What kind of pets?
So, I mean, when you think about like, what is the next probable animal anyone would bring to an office after dogs, you would probably think of cats. But cats are tricky, I think, because they are very individual. And cats are not that good with change in a way that they like their routine. And if you take them, you know, in the morning, put them into a box or a little bag and carry them to the office, and then they have to get used to the office, and then you take them back home. That's stressful for a cat, I think.
I do have a coworker that brought his cat twice. I wasn't in the office, but I saw pictures, and that cat loves going outside and have walks with on a leash and travel.
Gonna say that exactly. Like, there are some cats that are really good with being on a leash and that are really interested in exploring things and, like, you know, walking outside, jumping on things, basically exploring the outside or an office, jump in the shelves and stuff like that, even though it's a different environment for them. There is one really famous cat in Australia that is doing parkour. She basically rides on skateboards along the beach in Australia and jumps off the skateboard on walls and like does flips and all sorts of crazy things. I put a link into the show notes to some of her videos. And we actually met her, Diana and I, at a cafe in Coolangatta at the Gold Coast in Australia, because they live there. And we came back from a trip from Japan with a stopover in Australia, went to have breakfast there. And all of a sudden, that guy walks in with a cat on a leash. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, that's a famous cat. That's a famous cat. And it was. So we had a chat to him, and he, you know, basically, you know, we could pet her, and it was like really nice. So anyway, cats are kind of like a candidate, but it needs to be the right character of cat if you want to take them even out of their usual environment. But I got a few stories from our friend Raquel. She is right now in Europe, but she used to work for a company here in Wellington in New Zealand. And apparently at that place, people brought in not so common animals to the workplace. So she sent me a few photos, like for example, with bunny rabbits or with chicks, like little baby chickens.
Okay, I would say I understand bunny rabbits. They are so cute, but chicks.
Yeah, chicks is unusual. Cute. I think with any baby birds, could be chicks or could be ducklings, for example, or something.
Okay,
it's more a one-off cuteness thing where maybe, let's say, someone finds some ducklings that lost their mother and they're nursing the ducklings, and then they bring them into the office to, you know, put everyone in a good mood for like a day, or because they don't have anyone else to look after the ducklings, to feed them or something like that. So I've seen that a few times. And also in various workplaces where my wife worked, people brought in maybe kittens during the day to nurse kittens, or, you know, baby chicks as well. So we've seen a few of these things. And I think you probably find that kind of stuff more in a country like New Zealand, which is a bit like in part semi-rural and more like farming and nature oriented than in the middle of Berlin, I would guess. So it depends a bit on where you are potentially. So yeah, I've seen chicks and rabbits. There's actually a really interesting article about a company called Flick Electric in a publication called The Spin-off here in New Zealand, where they talk about dogs at work at that company and tell a few stories about like why people bring in their dogs. So we link to that in the show notes as well. And I have another interesting story, but that's kind of not really related to office work. We have a friend who whose partner hunts goats with bow and arrow, because goats are a pest in New Zealand and they have a rural property. So he goes out on his land and he basically takes bow and arrow and shoots goats. But and they eat the goats. So it's kind of like a semi-fair game, I think. You know, I find that much nicer than shooting goats with a gun, because that's kind of like cheating. But if you do it the old traditional way, it's kind of okay. And he's doing something good for the environment by shooting them, basically, because they are destroying the land more or less. But anyway, he tries obviously to not kill mothers with baby goats or with young goats. But accidentally it can happen, because you sometimes don't see the baby goats when you have like an older goat standing somewhere. And so that happened about a year ago once. And so our friend Kiki ended up with two baby goats. And her partner brought them home. And Kiki was like, great, now we have two baby goats I need to take care of. Luckily, she's a vet. So what she did is basically she took her baby goats to work, to her practice. And, you know, they got milk from the vet nurses and from herself like every hour when they were super young. And then they could stay outside in the backyard of the vet clinic until they were like old enough to stay at their property during the day by themselves. So that's obviously not a traditional example of what we are talking about with taking an animal to the office. But, you know, it's still a workplace, and having baby goats at a domestic animal vet clinic where normally dogs and cats and rabbits and birds are treated is a bit unusual.
Well, in the end, it's your workplace, as you said, and it's your pet, and it's your responsibility, you know, and so, yes, and it can also disturb your other colleagues because of it's unusual, you know. So, yeah, I think it's a valid.
Yeah, and it's probably example. A positive disturbance because baby goats are incredibly cute. So cute.
Yeah. By the way, before I said like chicks are not that cute, but actually I love birds and I just had in mind when my love birds were little tiny babies and didn't have any feathers and they didn't look so cute yet and they needed a couple of more days, you know. But I'd say all pets are cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, our chickens normally don't come into the house, so they've never been in my office. We had them in the house a few times, but that was accidentally when I left the backyard door open and they just walked in. And I hear all of a sudden noises, like cluck-cluck noises. And you walk towards the door and all of a sudden there's chicken poop on your carpet. And it's like, oh, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's when you take a break, go for a coffee and clean the poop.
Clean the chicken poop, yeah. Yeah. See, that's the working from home thing. Like, you know, I can tell stories like, oh, I had to clean chicken poop today. What did you do?
That's very true. But, you know, we are talking about our pets. And while we are recording our voices, I see you on our video call. And I see you all smile while talking about these stories and hearing these stories. And the thing is that pets bring us a lot of happiness, you know. And I think they are good for our mental health in general, for everyone.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Totally agree, yes.
I sometimes think that everyone in life should have a pet at least once, you know, a dog. A dog would be kind of ideal, I think.
Yeah, I mean, one thing we need to mention, though, is that at some point, the time will come when you have to, you know, say goodbye to your pet. And that is obviously the hardest part of owning a pet. And I still struggle with that, to be honest. We lost our cat Max 1.5 years ago. And that was super hard. And we just recently got Kylo because it took such a long time to, you know, get over. Or not really get over, but you know, to deal and process that loss if you're so close with a cat. So as much as it is really good to have an animal around you and to support your mental health, you need to be pretty much be prepared from day one that there will be a moment in time when there is that aspect coming towards you and your pet, more or less.
Yeah, for sure. That's a difficult topic to talk about, but maybe one day we can discuss experiences and how we can deal with those feelings, if we have any advice.
Yeah.
Would you recommend people to bring a dog or a pet to the office one day?
I would, provided the environment is right and you've, you know, gone through your checklist and made sure that you don't annoy anyone with that there are no negative impacts on the health of other people and all the stuff we talked about. But I think in general, if you and your animal are up for it and your colleagues and your workplace is open to that idea, I think it's a really nice thing to do.
Yes, I think you need a little bit of experience to do that. So don't adopt a puppy and then try to do it in 6 months. Wait, I will say you need to wait a couple of years until your dog is an adult and you have a good connection with the dog and everything. So I think that for us, for example, it will be too soon to bring Lily to the office. But I think that in the future, this is something that can be done.
Yes, I also would recommend to bring some time your dog to the office, and so your colleagues can meet them. But also make sure that you don't overwhelm your colleagues nor your pets. Try for a few hours first, maybe 1 hour one day, half a day, you know, work from home if you can in the morning, bring the pet in the afternoon or the other way around. Make sure that there's a safe space for everyone, your pet and your colleagues, and be open-minded as well. Like, if you want to bring your dog and you want everyone to be open-minded, you also have to be open-minded and understand that not always is a good choice to do that, you know, because of many reasons. Allergies, distractions, maybe your pet might not be well-trained or trained enough, might be very young, might not be suitable for that environment. So yeah, so TLDR, I'd say yes, but be mindful, please. Thank you everyone for listening. We will share our pets' Twitter accounts in the notes and some of fun links about the skateboarding cat, maybe as well. And perhaps also some other cute pictures. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Code Cafeteria, and don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast app. We also have a YouTube channel with the audio recordings that have captions. The captions are initially auto-generated, but we want to give a big thank you to our friend, amazing friend and volunteer, Jennifer. She volunteered because she was transcribing all the past episodes. Thank you very much, Jennifer. And finally, because conference season has just started, in the next episode, we are gonna start a series on public speaking. Talk to you next time. Thank you, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.